Radio Sheffield. I'm Steve White. So how different was football 40 years ago? Well, Richard Crookes has written about it in his new book, What Was Football Like in the 80s? And he's on the line now to talk about the beautiful game. Afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Now, firstly, you did a book about football in the 70s, didn't you? So how did the 80s differ from the 70s, first of all?
Well, I think in terms of the decade after the 70s, actually, in many ways, things were getting worse from a spectator point of view, most particularly with the scourge of hooliganism. Fences have been put up in front of the terracing at all the first and second division grounds, nowadays the Premiership and Championship. So the sight lines were very difficult for people actually watching the game from the terraces. And at all the clubs, there were more terracing in terms of capacity, people to go in, than there were seats. So the facilities, frankly, were antiquated and getting older. And that, in time, led to the disasters that is really what the 1980s, in large measure, are known for. You'll recollect, the Bradford City fire, the fire at the Valley Parade Ground, which, very sadly, 56 people lost their lives at a game that was meant to be a promotion-winning game for Bradford. And then, of course, locally, here at Hillsborough, the 1989 disaster when innocent Liverpool supporters lost their lives. So that's a long answer to, I think the facilities are getting worse for spectators in terms of the game itself during the 1980s. Well, Liverpool were the team that dominated in the league championship. They won, over that period, 7 league championships. But as a result of the Heysel disaster, English clubs were barred from entry because of the hooliganism that took place over there. So very different from today, and not as good for the spectators, certainly, as a decade previous.
Yeah, I mean, the football hooliganism, the tabloids often ran stories about, hooligans at football. It was the minority, though, wasn't it? You still have to remember that, but do you feel that spoilt it and spoilt the reputation of football fans in the 80s?
Yes, in just one word answer, yes, I think he did. You're right, it was a minority, but I think it was an increasingly significant minority. And I think Steve was reflected in attendances at the football games in the 80s. From the beginning of that decade till the middle, 1985, attendances fell by one-third. And by 1985-6, the total attendances were 16 million at all league games, which is the lowest post-war attendance that had been. If you look at the Sheffield clubs in particular, and some of the attendances now won't stand up to what people would expect nowadays, but the Sheffield clubs in the 1980s, Wednesday's highest average attendance during that period was 27,000. The lowest was 16,000. And Wednesday were in the first division for the majority of that time. For United, their highest attendance was 16,000, and their lowest just dipped below the 10,000 in the 1980s. Even Manchester United and Liverpool, their average attendance was in the 30,000s. You look at today, and you're looking at, for Manchester United, a regular 75,000. And I'm sure the hooliganism played a significant part in that.
Would you say it's the decade where money and commercialism kind of changed football and then made it what we know now? Was that the decade?
I think that's a very good point. I mean, the thing that really came to the fore is actually Tottenham Hotspur. They were keen to have investment into the club. The FA regulations at the time prevented clubs going on the stock exchange. So Tottenham Hotspur were the forerunners for listing the club on the stock exchange by having a holding company that was then responsible for going on the stock exchange, having investment into it. The football club clearly reported through the holding company. So that had major implications as the game developed and moved on through the 80s and into the 90s, and the game we're becoming more familiar with today. Steve, one other thing I'd point out, again, for people who can remember back to the 80s, it really was a dire time economically in the country, and no different for football clubs. Some of the famous clubs of the time, Wolverhampton Wanderers, and indeed today, They're on the brink of extinction on a couple of occasions and need to be rescued. Charlton Athletic, same thing. And a number of these clubs had to leave their grounds. Charlton, a case in point, because they couldn't afford the repairs that became increasingly necessary to their ground. So they left their home of the Valley to go to Selhurst Park. And there are other examples of that as well.
You're a Wednesday fan. Richard, what's your abiding memory then of the 80s in football?
My abiding memories are successfully getting up and through the First Division to the First Division after 14 long seasons out of it, and we thought that's the longest we'll ever be away from the top flight. Little did we know. The other thing, just reflecting back with United, Wednesday were enjoying the decade and they're in the First Division, but come 1989-90, the last season of the 80s, Wednesday relegated from the First Division, and who should get promoted? United. So they enjoyed the last season of the decade. One other thing, Steve, just you may well remember this, but a mention and an important mention for the local club, Chesterfield. Chesterfield won their one and only major trophy at the beginning of the 80s, the Anglo-Scottish Cup. They defeated the mighty Glasgow Rangers in the quarter-final and went on to beat Notts County in the final. A last-minute goal in added time by Alan Crawford, who back-heeled it. So it's a fabulous, fabulous season and decade for the Spireites.
The book is an interesting book. It's out now. It's called What Was Football Like in the 1980s? Richard, appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you for joining us. That's author Richard Crooks. Get the book. It really is a fascinating read. Toby Foster.